this could only have been written in northern Germany. This tremendous emphasis on craft we hear in this piece, on polyphonic writing, on instrumental writing, is something that is typical of the North German composer. Also, this concept of music as a spiritual expression. Well, these are the beginnings of Schoenberg's birthright. Tremendous emphasis on polyphonic and instrumental craft, music as a spiritual expression. We continue. Vienna sits at the crossroads between northern and southern Europe. This is where we see the musical influences of the mid-18th century all come together at the same time. It is in Vienna of the 1750s and 60s and 70s that the classical homophonic musical forms evolve, featuring a logical progression of instrumental musical ideas based on the principles of variation, contrast, and development. These abstract forms of the classical era offer the perfect mix of Germanic intellectual control and Italian melodic fluency. Let us continue to add to this cultural artistic stew that is Schoenberg's inheritance, the influence of Beethoven, the concept of motivic development, that is varied unity or unified variety, as lying at the heart of the melodic content of a piece of music. The expressive vision of music as a self-expressive art. The tenet of originality as an artistic goal. And now we move into the 19th century. Increasingly, German Romanticism turns inward for expressive content. For example, Wagner's music dramas use leitmotifs to create inner states of reality, which in turn reflects the Schopenhauer-inspired Wagnerian belief that only instrumental music can touch the unspoiled emotional soul of humankind. These ideas are very influential, particularly in Germany. German Romanticism increasingly emphasizes mystical, emotional, dramatic, inner human states rather than outer description, like Impressionism being outer description, an art that looks at the world around us. German Romantic art increasingly looks inward for inspiration. Please, let's listen to a piece of late Romantic German music, one we haven't listened to yet. This is the second movement of Mahler's Fifth Symphony. I've managed to get now three Mahler symphonies into this course, the first, the ninth, and now the fifth. And here's what I want us to be aware of, because I'm going to tell you what this music is about before we listen to it, something unusual but necessary, because we must keep moving. The second movement of the Fifth Symphony of 1902. Now, the Fifth Symphony is about the conscious and unconscious reactions of the living to the death of someone close to us. The first movement is a numbed funeral march, and it's about our immediate reactions to the death of someone close to us. We are numbed. We are almost beyond consolation, but the true reactions, our true emotions, have not had a chance to come to the surface. We are still dealing with the immediacy of death, and it is a funeral march of great power and dignity. The second movement, where we are going to turn, is a whole different story. We've had a week or 2 weeks to process the understanding of this death, and we are enraged, filled with anguish and despair, rage at being left alone, rage at our own mortality, rage at this great cosmic joke. We're born, we flourish, we attain wisdom, and what do we do with all of this? We die. And so the second movement opens with a huge totentrei, a death shriek, a rage that Mahler offers to us. You see, Mahler puts himself in these terrible emotional places so that we can learn more about ourselves through his music. Let us listen to this turmoil-filled inner emotion and understand that this is typical of German Romantic art, looking inwards to the darkest places of the soul for inspiration. Mahler Symphony No. 5, second movement, and please note the way this excerpt ends. After this huge and terribly turgid music, we can no longer maintain this level of emotionalism, and the music falls away into a gasp as if we have lost all our energy at this point to continue this tirade. Mahler Symphony 5, second movement.